Paul and the others in the New Testament, they said it like this, that Paul was looking for him in his day to come back. My grandfather was looking for him to come back. My mother was looking for him to come back. Here we are looking for him to come back. But I'm afraid that our children aren't looking. They're not looking. In the book of Colossians is where we'll be reading from tonight, in the third chapter. And it will go right with what Brother Lloyd has already preached about this evening. And I'm thankful that we have brothers and sisters that follow the Spirit of God. That's what church is all about. It's not the presentation, it's the power that comes with it. And whenever I'm in the Lord's house and I can feel His presence, everything is so much better. My body don't hurt as bad. My worries aren't as heightened. My fears are lessened because the Lord comes by and blesses us today. Colossians, the third chapter, go with me if you would, start at verse 1, reading the first three verses today. He said, "If we then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, setting your affection on things above, not on the things of this world or on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And stop reading there with that third verse. And tonight I'd like to use for a text for a few moments of time, seeking those things that you love. Seeking those things that you love. He tells us here that he starts it off with a word that we hear so often. And even Christ said, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Here he says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." Are you risen with Christ today? He was the first fruits, and we was risen when we believed upon him, and he saved our dying soul. He tells us that we ought to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, instead of those things on the earth. The Bible tells us where our heart is, that's where our treasure is at. Where our treasure is where our heart is at. Those things that we love is where our heart is centered on. And those are the things that we ought to be pursuing each and every day. If we really love the Lord, then we ought to have our affection, have our love, our efforts, everything set on Him. Because He says that the things of this world are just temporary. But everything God gives to us is eternal. He gives it to us, and we know that God has been so good to each and every one of us. But oftentimes in this life, our affections, the things that we love, are going after the wrong things. We spend so much time pursuing things that won't amount to a hill of beans when we come to the end of this life. The things of this world that people love and have their affection set upon, you can tell what somebody loves just by listening to their speech. Those that talk about the world, and the world is all that they want to talk about, that's where their love is at. People that love God, we ought to have a message about the Lord in each and everything we do. Today I was talking with a lady, and we was talking about the things that life throws at us. And I asked her, I said, "But how are how is your family, your husband and your kids?" And she said, "They're all doing well." And I said, "At the end of the day, that's all that matters. That's all that matters, is that our families are taken care of. Most of all, the most important thing is that they know Jesus Christ in a free pardon of sin." So many folks are teaching everything to their children and to their loved ones except for what's really important. I know we need education. I know we need our jobs and the things to make our life go easier and better. But there's nothing in this world that our world needs more of today than Christ in the home, in the church, and in our country. We need more. We've lost sight of what's really important. The things of this world are just temporary. Everything you've got, you're going to leave it to somebody else, or somebody else is going to take it away from you. And you say, it's mine. Nobody can take it away from me. Everything you've got, somebody can take it away from you. Either the government, family, or the devil can take everything you have. Ask Job. Amen? But look what Job did because he had his affections set in the right manner. Because he did not do as he was told to do by those that was his friends or even his wife, he said, you can talk all you want, but I've got my affection set on high. God may take it all. God giveth and God taketh away, but blessed be the Lord. No matter what we go through in this life, we never should lose sight of what our life is all about. And our life is about getting ready to leave this world and go to a better place. And I enjoy this life, don't you? I enjoy the things that God allows us to have along the journey. But there ought not be anything that replaces serving God, loving God, and trying to get our people in before it's too late. I've seen folks today that have their affections set on everything else. The stock market takes a nosedive and they're all up in arms. They're worried about their future. The economy gets in trouble and people start worrying about that. God said he would always take care of his children. In fact, the Bible says that man, really, a true man's wealth is not measured by what he has in this world, but it's measured by what he has in his heart. If we set our affections on high, I believe God will take care of everything else. Has he done that for anybody else but me tonight? When we set our affections, when we say, Lord, I know it looks pretty dark right now, but I know that you're able to send a ray of sunshine into my heart and my life, that I might be able to lift my voice and praise your holy name. I find it like this: when our affections is right, it don't matter what we face, God is able to bring us through it. But when we put our trust in everything we have in this world will let you down. But God will never let you down. He's never failed one time throughout all of the book. And if I was to ask for testimonies tonight, how many of you could say God has failed you? Not a one of us. But how many of us can say God has been faithful? Because we have our affections set on those things which are above. The things that really matter. I have learned through the years that your job is as important as a job is not your future. We heard maybe it was yesterday, I'm not sure, that one of the big companies, I don't even know the name of it, is building this big place over in northern Kentucky. And they're talking about all the big jobs that they're bringing in. I believe it was like 1,800 jobs that they're bringing in to our area. And I said, yeah, but they're all probably going to be part-time. And you say, why would you mention that? Because that's the way the world works. Today, there is no future in the job market. But there is future in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We may have to work two or three jobs to make ends meet, but God will bless that little bit and make it to where we can survive because we've got our affection not in this world. My future's not here. In just a few more days, Becky and the boys and T will place me under the sod, and people will say, he got defeated. Death is not defeat for a born-again child of God. Death is victory because we've got it all banked on the other side. How many of you got your treasures up in heaven where the thief can't break through and steal it? Moth can't corrupt it. Rust can't inhibit it. But we've got everything because we have given God our all, our soul. The most valuable thing you have today next to your family is your soul. In fact, let me reverse that. Your soul is first. Your family is second. Amen? Because nothing ought to come between us and the Lord. He said that we ought to seek those things which are above. The things that are above, you say, well, what are those things? We can't have them here. We ought to seek God's will in our life. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to work? Put me in a field and let me work for your kingdom. Because our workers are getting few. Those that really are seeking those things above, and we've got some young people here tonight that I'm so proud of, because they, even though they're in this world, they're not of this world. They are pursuing the things of God for their life. Because if you build your life right, everything will be taken care of. I built mine with the help of the Lord upon a solid foundation. Not a foundation of the apostles or the prophets, but the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I love the church. Don't you love the church tonight? Where your heart is where your treasure is. When we seek those things that we really love. I look at, and people probably think I'm strange, and I probably am. But there's not much in this world that I pursue. There's not a vehicle that I say I'd give my eye tooth for. There's not a house that I'd say I'd give everything to have that. There's nothing in this world that really grabs my attention and makes me want to pursue it. Nothing. But what I want to pursue is what God would have us to do. Go after those that are lost and get them in and get them saved before it's too late. Those that are astray, that God would send out the Holy Spirit to remind them of the day and the time that they got born again by the Spirit of the Lord. You know why so many Christians fall or get away from the journey? It's because they take their eyes off of the Lord and put it upon this world. That got Peter in trouble, did it not? The Lord said, come to me. And he got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. But the minute he took his eyes off of the Lord, whom he loved, and started to look at the things of this world, he began to sink. And the Lord had to pull him out. How many of us will confess on a Wednesday night? I didn't know I was going to preach it this way. But how many of us will confess on Wednesday night, there's been times we took our eyes off the things that were really important, and the Lord had to reach down and help us back into the boat. Yeah. And sometimes we got some chastening that went with it. Has anybody else ever been chastened by the Lord because you took your eyes off the thing that you really love? It hurts when the Lord. It hurt when mom and dad chastised us. And until I had our own children and had to chastise them, I never understood. In fact, we used to make fun, my uncles and us, because we was all about the same age, that parents would say, this is going to hurt you or hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I'm only doing this because I love you. If you loved me, you wouldn't whip me, is what we thought. But we took our eyes off the things that we really loved. Where the things that you love, he said, that those things that we have our affection on or the things that we ought to love and seek after, because that's where we'll place our efforts at. I know people, and don't get me wrong, I know we all have to work for a living, unless you're already retired. But I know people that the job became where they put all their efforts. They never had time for church. I know people that have stockpiled big sums of money only to leave it to somebody else and them to abuse it. Amen? I've known people that spent all of their health trying to make wealth and then had to spend all their wealth trying to get their health back. They got their affection wrong. Don't get me wrong, it's important to have money to make it in this world. But the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. That's where their affection was at. Pursuing. Many years ago in a message, I said it like this. God laid it up on my heart and I said it. There's a very thin line between need and greed. How much do we really need? And how much greed do we have? Because we're pursuing the almighty dollar instead of pursuing God and His will in our life. Where those things that we really love is the things that we ought to seek after. The things that we ought to go 100% pursuing. Trying to get more of. I've never come to the place where I said, I've got enough of God in my life. I've never come to the place where I said, I've got enough of the Holy Spirit in my life. Never come to the place where I said, I know enough about Him. I don't need any more. But I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about what He's got waiting for us over there. I want to have more of His Spirit in me. That when people, have you ever been around somebody that's so full of the Spirit of God that it just comes from them into you? That's what I want to have. That when people see us, they know what we love. I appreciated this the other day at work. Guy was saying something off color. And he saw that I was walking away. And he waited until I got out of hearing distance before he finished his story. And you say, why did that make you happy? Because they know that I don't have time, nor do I want to hear that kind of foolishness. You know what it does? It disturbs my spirit. And if you stay around it and you listen to it, it will hurt your relationship with God. Because then that's where your mind is at. You ever seen somebody that's truly focused? I'm not one of them. I confess. I try to meditate and listen to the Lord. And my mind is going in many different areas. And sometimes I just have to say to myself, Roger, stop thinking about that and start focusing where you need to be at. Because the devil will bring all kinds of things in your mind while you're trying to pursue after those things that you really love. The devil's offering you all kinds of things. That's what Job's wife said. Why don't you just curse God and die? And I love his response. You talk like a foolish woman. Job was saying, what I'm pursuing is more important and valuable than everything I've lost. And I didn't know I was going to talk about your Sunday school lesson. But you see, we have to have our priorities in the right perspective. You say, are you saying church is more important than anything else come church time? Most certainly it is. This is where our treasure is. This is where our heart ought to be. This is those things that we're seeking, that we love. People have fallen out of love with God and the church. They don't want any commitment. They just want to be a participant. I want to be more than just a participant. I want to be in there working for the Lord until He takes us home to be with Him. Some would say, Roger, I'm too old to work like that. There's many different jobs in the church. Many different jobs. And sometimes I think we put this in there as a backup. But I believe this. The most important job there is in the church is for those that are praying. God, send a spirit by. Lord, send conviction into our church that our people might see that this is not something that the world has, but this is different. This is something that they can take home with them. And they'll have, not just for today, but they'll have it for the rest of their lives. And he said that if we really set our affection on the things above, that we will work toward that with all that we have. I think sometimes even us today, if I can talk to the church for a minute, sometimes we're only given about 30 or 40, maybe 50% of all of our effort. How many of you here tonight have got other things on your mind that has to be taken care of tomorrow or tonight? Sometimes on Sunday morning, I think people are more interested on what they're going to have for lunch than they are the songs and the preaching. They're more interested in what they're going to do Sunday afternoon or Sunday night or getting ready for Monday. You know when I get ready for Monday? When the alarm goes off Monday morning. Or after I hit snooze a couple times. That's when I worry about Monday. You say, Roger, you're too relaxed. I think he said that each day is sufficient unto itself. Why take on more for tomorrow than what tomorrow already has for itself? We need to set our affection, our love, our energies, all that we have on those things which are above. And by doing that, God will bring those things that's above down to us. And we could rejoice. You know, in fact, the Bible tells us that we ought to rejoice because our names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We ought to rejoice with that tonight. And know that it was not us that saved ourselves, but it was God who saved us. And if He saved us, we ought to love Him more than we love anything else in this world. People say, does that mean I love God more than I do my spouse? Yes. Do I love Him more than I love my children? Yes. Do I love Him more than anything in the world? Yes. Because He loved me even more than that. That He allowed His only begotten Son to die on a cross for my sins. If He could do all that, surely we could set our affection on things above. You say, Roger, you just want us to be like a holy roller. That's a term you probably ain't heard in a while. I say this. I don't know what you call it, but I think that we ought to set our affection on things above so that we become so dedicated to God, so full of His Spirit, so full of the knowledge of His Word, that we can just help others along the journey. You know who helped me? People that had a love for God. People that knew the Word of God and people that weren't afraid to follow the Spirit of God. That's how I got in. They showed me that there's more over there than there is here. And I wanted what they illustrated. Because of their lives, I was changed. He said, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. What he's saying is that we are dead to sin. Sin has no domain in a born-again child of God. And I heard a preacher, you know, people say, well, we're still in this world and we still sin. You know why we sin? Because we take our eyes off those things from above. You read through the Bible. David got in trouble because he took his eyes off God. You say, what caught his eye? Bathsheba. And some of y'all say, well, that was Bathsheba. She shouldn't have been up there bathing. No, David shouldn't have been up there gawking. He should have been out to battle. It was the years that the kings went to battle. He should have been out there working. See, we're so easy to blame it on somebody else that my affections got moved from above to here. Some people say, well, that person hurt my feelings in church. Well, God bless your little heart. You know what we ought to do? You know, can I preach a few more minutes? We become so thin-skinned that people can't even look at us without hurting our feelings anymore. I shook hands with Ray there earlier, and I said, I don't know if I shook your hand or not when you come in or when I come in, and I didn't want your feelings to get hurt. You know, if it's the truth, let's just take it and say, yes, that's right. People say, well, I've got some faults with you, Roger. I know, I've got plenty of them. Do you know your faults? You know, before we start pointing out somebody else's faults, we ought to first fix our own. Amen. You say, Roger, this is Wednesday night, son. Our sin is hid. In fact, our sin is blotted out through the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. He said that we are dead to the law. The law has no power. It's the former gospel, the former word. We are not under the law. We are under the grace plan. Amen. And that ought to make you want to shout. Because under the law, we'd all still be lost. And we'd still be bringing sacrifices in to offer up to God for our sin. And yet, our sin would never be paid. And he also says in the book of Colossians that we are dead to the rudiments of this world, to the things that this world has to offer. A born-again child of God that really is seeking those things above ought to stand out like a sore thumb in this world. You say, do I need to wear a sign saying I'm born again? No, it ought to show by the things that you do and the things that you don't do. You know, and I don't say this for a pat on the back. Y'all know me better than that. But my boss asked me last week, he said, Wednesday night I got tickets to the ball game. Can you go? I said, Wednesday night? He said, yeah. I said, I can't go. It's not that I can't go. I don't want to go. I mean, what would y'all think if I called up and said, I won't be there tonight, I'm going to the ball game. Some of you laughing, but some of you say, where's he at? He's at a ball game? You know, if I'm sick is one thing. But if I'm at a ball game, you know what that's saying? The things of this world's more important to me than being in church. Now, let's reverse that for a moment. When you're at the ball game and not in church, you know what I think? Same thing. Right? Because what God expects and requires of me, he does the same for you. We all are the family of God. And if we're not careful, you know, a preacher many years ago said it like this, Christians, especially Baptists, are like an old car. They usually start missing before they quit. That's true. And when people start missing, I start getting worried about them. You know why? Because once you miss that first time, it's easier the next time and the next time. And before you know it, they're completely out of church. How many of us can just count the number of people that used to be here? And now they're not here any longer. They're still alive, but they took their eyes, their affections off the things above and put it on this world. Many of them, I'll close. Many of them are selling out to the devil when they belong to the Lord. You say, are they still saved? If they were saved, they're still saved. Amen. But I'm afraid with all of my heart that there's a bunch of them that came to the altar for the wrong reason. And they didn't get what they needed. They may have got, you know, and I'm trying to find a closing place. You know, they teach us if you get it off your chest, you feel so much better. And I believe that's true. You say, Roger, who do you talk to get it off your chest? God. But they didn't get what they needed because there was no change that took place. They're still seeking the things of this world instead of seeking God and His will. Let me close with this final thought. Young people. A lot of our young people today are pursuing everything that mom and dad has. They want the house, they want the car, they want the furnishings, they want everything else. And many of them are setting their affection on this world to try to get all of that. Not realizing that whatever mom and dad has, it's taken them 30, 40, 50, 60 years to accumulate. It didn't come overnight. It didn't come overnight. I've shared this with you before. When Becky and I first got married, you know, that's where my affection was. That's where my love was. When we got married, we furnished our apartment for $10. Now, I know it was a long time ago, but let me tell you, it should have cost a whole lot more, but we got a table and four chairs. It was the old metal one. We got a mattress and box springs. We got a bean chair. And maybe a couple end tables. Maybe. I'm not even sure. Some kind of tables that we got. Because a friend of hers in school was having a yard sale. We went by there. And because we just got married and we needed, they let us have it all for $10. And people say, that was rough. Yes. But you know, wherever your affection is at, it doesn't matter what you don't have. What matters is what you do have. Amen? See, things of this world, they'll lose their luster. A lot of people has got everything, but they have nothing. But there's a bunch of us that have nothing, but we have everything because we've got God. And I shouldn't say we don't have nothing. God's blessed every one of us. But to the world, we don't have anything. They look at us and say, you're a failure. Let me tell you about the other side. Amen. Tonight we're going to pray because I'm so concerned that our people or taking their sight off of the things above and going after the things that they can see. Paul said it very clearly. Sometimes it's hard to keep your vision on the things above because right now we look through a glass darkly. We only get glimpses of what's really there. But on that day, we shall see it for ourselves and for not another. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Have you got your affections in the right place? Are you seeking those things above? And let me close this final thought while we pray. You can come on in. I believe it like this. God can take our little bit. He can breathe on it. He can bless it and make it into more than we will ever comprehend. Amen. Or you can go out there and set your affections on this world and work your fingers to the bone and not have anything. I believe that. God bless you. Let's pray tonight.
Lord, I praise you for all that you have done for us. I thank you, God, that every once in a while we need to be reminded, Lord, to get our eyes back, to get our affections set back on those things that are above. For Lord, the devil will come and the world will take our eyes off of those things that are most important to us.